Joe would lead us in a word of prayer.
Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather again in your house, Lord, this evening. Thank you for the wonderful message you have this morning, Lord. We just pray that we can use the words that we hear inside these walls, Lord, and carry it with us, Lord, and apply to our lives outside of you. Lord, you help us to be with this community needs, Lord. Just be with each and every one of us, Lord. There are several prayer requests mentioned this, Lord. This morning, Lord, we just pray that you be with those and even help the ones that were on.
Amen. Chris pointed out this song. Look at page 207. I've never sang this song. I want to be a worker. But I think this would be an appropriate song to sing. And of course, how many of you know this song? Okay, good. I got some good hits.
I am.
anybody have another question?
Give me that old time religion. That was on my mind this morning.
The old time religion? Good. Good enough for me.
Think when I hear the song Old Time Religion, my mind goes back to the movie Sergeant York. And if you've never seen that movie, and it's an old movie, I recommend it to you. Though most of you know, but those of you that don't, Sergeant York was a World War I veteran who lived on the Tennessee-Kentucky state line. And growing up, he was they were poor like everybody else was, mountain people. And growing up, he was sort of an outlaw. And they'd be trying to have church service at the little country church where close to where he lived there, and his mama and his family would be there, and him and his outlaw friends would be out around the church just causing mischief and trouble and making noise and hooping and hollering and drinking and carrying on. And but he had an experience with the Lord that changed his life. And they were singing that song, Old Time Religion. And the last person they were expecting to see was Alvin York come through the doors of that church. But he came through, and he came down and fell down at the altar. And most of you that know the story of him, he went on to become a World War I veteran and a hero in the war. And he was able to take a lot of German captives without killing them. He was able to take them prisoner, and he died a hero, just a little country boy from up in that area. But I can't help but hear that song that I don't think about that. They were singing that when he came and plowed up the altar there. And then he had a problem when he was getting ready to go off to war. He had a problem because he was again killing, he said. And he didn't believe in killing nobody after he got saved. And one of the commanding officers gave him a book to read, and he said, "You go back home and you read this book, and if you don't see that defending your country is worthwhile, then, but it was a very and it's worth going back and seeing that movie. It's very educational and got a good, and it was true. It's not a fictional Hollywood thing. It was a true story, and that makes it all that much better. Good to see each one of you tonight. And I told them back there in the deacons meeting that I was thrilled with the folks we had at church today for our morning service. It just seemed like more and more folks come in. I would still love to see folks come to Sunday school. I really would. And I have stressed that. I've talked to folks about it. But I feel like a lot of our young people and older people that come for worship service could really benefit out of our Sunday school. I really believe that. There's just so much. If I miss Sunday school, I just feel like I've missed I missed part of the service. And Sunday school and the singing helps get me in shape to try to do what God would have me to do, and without it, I'd hate to try to do it. But I'm not going to be very long. This is our conference night. We don't have a whole lot of business to take care of tonight, but nevertheless, we'll go through our items of business here in just a few minutes. But if you've got your Bible and want to turn to Ecclesiastes, I have a few verses. some things that Solomon said here that kind of stuck out to me this afternoon as we were looking in God's Word. Second chapter of Ecclesiastes, and one thing that I really like about Ecclesiastes, if you don't take it spiritually, you could get real depressed reading the book of Ecclesiastes. I believe the writer of this book, Solomon, I believe that he got depressed at times when he was writing. Solomon had an opportunity that a lot of us won't have, and that is to not only be blessed with wisdom and understanding, but he was blessed with great riches. He didn't ask for them, but because he didn't ask for them, God, if you want to put it this way, maybe just added the icing to the cake. When he asked for wisdom and understanding and discernment to be able to discern judgment, God was so pleased with what Solomon asked that he added to him riches and honor. So Solomon had experience with knowing what it was to have a lot of the material things of this life that some are not afforded to have. And you can't just read one chapter of his writing and get the whole thing out of it, but you'll find that Solomon searched. And sometimes people will say, well, what's the meaning of life? You know, you hear folks saying, what's my purpose in life, or what's the meaning of life? And Solomon did a lot of research that saved, I've always considered that it helped save me a lot of grief and a lot of searching out things. When I was younger, I went through a spell where I thought, you know, what's my purpose? Why am I here? What is my contribution to society? Or what can I even got? At times, I began to get selfish, and I said, what can I get out of this thing? And Solomon searched all of this, and I think he looked at all that God had blessed him with. He looked at all the material things, the gold and the silver, the royalty, the honor that he had. He was greatly honored being king. And he looked at the wisdom and understanding that God gave him. And I think he came to a conclusion. Well, he says in one place, the conclusion of the whole matter, and he talks about to fear God and to keep his commandments. But he talks a lot about vanity and vexation of spirit. And I looked up, I always felt like that vanity meant meaningless or of no value, but I looked it up. And it said that vanity could be one that is proud and boastful of their accomplishments, of their maybe what they look like, or it named several things that vanity could be in a person. But the dictionary down at the bottom, after it defined that, it said things of very little value are no value. So I thought about that. And Solomon mentions here, a lot of times he mentions vanity and vexation of spirit. And what Solomon found out was that what a lot of people put value in, what a lot of people put their trust in, are put all their eggs in one nest with, turns out to be vanity. It turns out to be vanity. And I want to read to you here, and I'm not going to be long, don't feel like preaching. But in the 24th verse in the second chapter, Solomon says, there's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten thereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail together and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. And as I begin to look at this, especially this 24th verse where he said there's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. I begin to think about being thankful for the simple things in life. A lot of times we take for granted, and I hate to put it this way, but we live in a culture where almost we think we're owed the necessities of life, the things I call the simple things, the necessities. But Solomon here lets us know that these things are given by the hand of God. He also says over in chapter 3 in the 13th verse, he said, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor. It is the gift of God. And so I begin to think about how that we should always never take for granted that we have. I'm not talking about there's some folks that have more than others. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the things that the necessities of life that we enjoy. If it was just, we know we have to eat to survive. We know we need a roof over our head. We can't exist without being out of the elements of the weather. We know that we need clothes to put on. That's a necessity that we need to fight the elements and everything. And I begin to see that Solomon, over all of these things that he was blessed with and everything that he had, to be able to sit down in joy and in peace and eat the fruit of your labor is something that you can't put a price on.
Amen.
You can't put a price on that. And in this, he says the people who put all their value in the things of their labor, and there's people around everywhere that do, that put all of their value in that, and everything that they base their life on is based in their worldly gain, they live a miserable, miserable life. Because they're worried about what they have, if they're going to be able to keep it, if somebody's going to steal it, am I going to lose it? But to be able to sit down at a meal, you know, I found out, Brother Roger, that it seems like the older I get, the less things cost me that I enjoy. You ever thought about that? A nap, being able to lay down for just a little bit, doesn't cost a dime, but boy, it's more valuable to me than it was 15, 20 years ago, to be able to rest. But to sit down with your family and sit down at a meal, and I think all of us here have got more to eat than we know what to do with. We really do. I think we do. We've got every one of us, I believe, has got groceries to spare. And to think that we can sit down and with our families and have a meal and enjoy that meal, not worrying about where our next meal is going to come from. Most of us have enough in store to where what we're going to eat today, if the bottom falls out, we'll have something for tomorrow. Most of us will. Amen. And that's what Solomon is talking about here. That if you're given wisdom and understanding and the joy from the Lord, you're able to enjoy all of these things that God gives. And it teaches us to be, Paul talked about godliness with contentment is great gain. And I really believe I can see more of that today, that if you're not content, now I'm not talking about, I always want people to understand that we don't need to be content spiritually and say, well, we're just where we need to be with God. We ain't going no further. But I'm talking about content with what we have in this life. If we learn to be content with that, whatever our portion is that God has given us, and to be thankful every day, do you realize it wasn't long ago, it wasn't too many years ago, that our ancestors, my parents, and maybe not your parents, your grandparents, lived during a time where even milk was hard to come by. Something to eat was almost like a luxury. Something my mother said that's instilled in my mind, and I'll always remember it, because it's hard for me to believe that just that many years ago things could have been so much different. My daddy said, I never remember going to bed hungry. He said, we lived in the country and we had stuff to eat. It may not have been all we wanted to eat, but it was took care of. But I'll never forget, and this is engraved in my mind, Brother Chris, that my mom said, I never went to bed starving, but I went to bed hungry. She said, I went to bed hungry several times. She talked about greens, that they didn't have any grease or anything to put on them, and they boiled them in water, and that's how they ate them. She said, there's not much taste to them when you can't find anything to season them with. And because of that, Mom, when she got a little something, she hung on to it. She cherished it, even to the day we buried her. But I said that to say this, to be able to have a luxury that you and I have today and to be able to sit down and eat and not only just eat, but most of us can eat what we want to eat. And we, a lot of us will go to restaurants and we'll order what we want to order. And we, if we're not careful, we'll take for granted that that's just something that's owed to us. Or some people say, well, I work for it. I work for it so I can do it. But everything comes from God.
Amen.
Every ability to make a living comes from God. Everything that we have comes from Him. Let me read this. James said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And I begin to think about that there's nothing in this world that we have that we shouldn't be thankful for every day that we have it. And I'm going to say this in closing. I've told y'all before, when I get in the shower and I turn the water on, I always try to remember that there was a time not too many years ago when folks didn't have that luxury.
Right.
And they had a well and had to heat their water, and to think that we can go in just by the turn of a knob, we get hot water instantly. And I learned a very valuable lesson some years ago. I'm not a deer hunter, never have been. But sometimes for your kids, you'll do things that you don't really enjoy doing, that you don't care a whole lot about. And when Austin was little, he just owned me about taking him deer hunting. And I said, son, the thought of sitting in a tree and waiting for a deer to come by, I said, that's just not my cup of tea. I love to eat it, but I said, that's just not my cup of tea. Linda said, you need to take him when he wants to go, carry him. And so we were invited by Brother Sam Johnson and a bunch of his cronies to come on a deer hunt. Said, come on, brother, we're going to spend the night, we're going to stay down there a couple of days, bring Austin, and we're going to have a bunch of boys down here, and they're going to have a good time, and you're going to have a good time, and boy, it's a lot of fun. We cook whatever we kill, we cook it there. And Brother Chris, I went down to Perry County, and I went to an old Etowah County school bus that had been converted into a campsite. No running water, no electricity, had bunk beds in it. And I thought, man, I'm going to be down here for a couple of days. And I'm getting around to a point. And we did have a good time. It was good fellowship. For people that love to do that, it was a good time. But I'm kind of like Sister Pam. I don't like rugby. I'll rent a motel room in a heartbeat. But long about the second night we were there, I don't know about y'all, but I get stinking and I had a shower in a while. And I was I just really wanted to shower real bad. And their form of water there was a 50-gallon drum that was cut half into it, caught rainwater, and you opened up a valve. And in the wintertime, that's not much of a way to try to clean yourself. And I remember, and it made me so appreciative of the things that I had and the luxuries that we have in life. And I asked Brother Samson, I said, where's y'all bathe around here? And he said, well, got water in it. But what, not very far away, was
sweet old couple that lived, and they were the only house around there. Milton Altman, you know him. And I thought I will pay them if they will allow me to come. I didn't know them. Everybody else around there knew them. I didn't know them. I said, if I could just come over there and clean up just a little bit, I'll pay them. And I remember going down there to Milton and his wife's house, good, salt of the earth type people. And I said, Milton, I didn't shower bad. And I said, if you would allow me, I'll pay the water bill, you electricity, whatever, I just need it. He said, oh, you ain't gonna pay nothing. He said, you come in and get you a shower. They furnished the washcloths, the towels, every soap, everything that I needed. And I said, Lord, if you'll ever get me back home, if you'll ever get me back home, I won't pull this stuff again. But I said that to say this. I became more appreciative of the things that I took for granted.
Right.
That I thought, and it was worth the trip. The boys had a good time, and they had a great time. Bobby was down there. It was fun for them. But I want us always to remember. Don't ever take for granted. And I've heard, and I thought about Brother Little this morning when he talked about he's just so blessed and so blessed. And don't ever take for granted that these things are something that are owed to us, or they're something that just come along in life. But everything is a blessing from God.
Amen.
Everything is. So the next time that you get in your bathtub or your shower and you turn a knob and you've got instant hot water, clean water, always thank the good Lord for all of that, everything that He gives. I thank Him for the food that we have to eat. I thank Him for the table that I have to sit down on, because it's not like you don't have to go back 500 years to find people that didn't have that. But you can just go back to your ancestors and see who didn't have that, and be appreciative of what God's blessed you with. And also, if He's blessed you a little more over what you have to have and what you need, be generous with it. Always, always look to the needs of others. Ask for wisdom and understanding. I don't think we ought to just go out handing out dollar bills to everybody we see, but always ask God for wisdom and understanding to be able to discern where there's a need and what that need is. Boy, that would do our government a lot of good, wouldn't it? If they could discern about where to spend money, that would really do. But not worried about them, worried about us today. If we discern in what God would have us to do, in the charitable things. And I appreciate this church and the charitable things that it does. And I feel like any time in this community, if there's a need, and we know about it, I believe that this church always takes an action to try to help. But I know that wasn't much tonight, but I love you. And I just hope it'll help us to realize to be more thankful for what we have, the food that we eat, our homes that we live in, and then all the other things on top of that. Most all of us have more than the necessities that we have to get by, and we're all blessed. Let's teach our children to realize that nothing is owed to them, nothing's owed to them, but it's all by the grace of God. And I feel like maybe a generation fail in teaching their children that, and maybe that's why we're in the boat that we're in today, where we're in a society where we're owed everything under the sun. But we're not. We're not. It's by the mercies and grace of God. Anybody, before we go into our business meeting?
Brother Steve, the reason why I was thinking about overtime religion was this week I did Miss Ray Fowler. I did her feet. Miss Ray Fowler was 103 years old. She was from Fowler's Hardware. She was the original swap shop lady. who had a swap shop radio program. Mm-hmm. She did Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And I was struck and talking to her how sharp she was, number one, for 103. But what a woman of God she was. I had heard a little bit about her. She had a Christian radio show once a week where it was a Christian book club, where they'd read excerpts from a book. And she did that many, many years. And she put a Christian bookstore in front of her, the Fowler's Hardware downtown. This was in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And I asked her, I was just curious, I said, well, what are you reading right now? I really wasn't expecting a response because she's 103 years old. She said, well, I'm reading about Reinhard Bonnke right now. Reinhard Bonnke was a great evangelist to Africa. And his first mission trip, he got called to go to Africa. And he said the Lord told him to book a stadium to do a great crusade. And he said he went from church to church to church for weeks before that to try to muster up people to come to this crusade. And he said the first night, he said he counted, and he said there were, in a stadium that could hold 5,000, he said, there were exactly 100 people, including himself. And he said, Lord, I don't know. I thought you told me to rent this stadium. And he began to preach, and he said, I didn't preach on healing. I didn't preach any such message. But he said, before the message ended, he said, man who was deaf began to hear. And he said the word got out. And by the end of that week, he said there were thousands there who came to the stadium. But Ms. Fowler, what struck me about her and tell me about that story and why her Bonnke was, she said, she said, other than being sick, really sick, or when I was traveling, she said, I don't think I've missed a church service in 100 years.
Wow.
And I thought, that's amazing.
That is.
And she told me last Sunday, she said, this particular gentleman showed up in church and his wife, and she said, I about fell out of my chair. She said, I've been praying for them for decades. She said, they show up for church. And she said, I went and told them. She said, I've been praying for decades for you to come to church and here you are. And she inspired me.
Sure.
By the fact that 103, and she was still a prayer warrior and was praying for people. And she said, I've been praying for a great revival from Mark County. I've been praying for miracles and healing. And it was such a wonderful thing. And we were talking about the old-time religion and what you just got through saying. You know, you put a lot of bells and whistles on the gospel, but it's still the same old simple gospel message that saves.
Amen. So, amen.
You make it a mega church or a little tiny church, you can make it 10,000 people, you can make it 10, it doesn't matter. The gospel message is still just as powerful.
Amen. And it takes the gospel in order for folks to get under conviction. Amen.
Back in 2020, January, I fell on both of my legs. And one of them was bad. The foot was hanging over here. And I was in the hospital a week, and I was given bed baths, you know what they are, bed baths. And on toward the end of that first week, Angie said, I'm going to give you a bath. I said, oh, okay. And she gave me as good a bed bath as you could give somebody. And then she washed my hair. And she poured all that water out on my bed. And I said, Angie, you're not going to get in trouble for this, are you? And she said, nah, they'll just be glad that I changed your bed and I give you your bath. And they were. And on toward it, I had to spend 3 weeks in rehab after that and didn't see a shower until the end of those 3 weeks. And I got in that shower and I was so thankful. But then somebody had to be with me and I hated that. When I got home, I was so thankful. I mean, for weeks after that, I would get in there and thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for just letting me have a shower. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah.
She still does. I mean, sometimes when she's finished, there's no hot water in the whole house. She's had a good shower. I got carried away, thank you.
I'm clean.
Amen. Anybody else?
Well, Steve, I'd just like to stand and publicly express my thankfulness to the Lord.
God bless you.
To me. I never lived in a house that didn't have indoor plumbing, but my grandparents, when I was a little kid, didn't have. And I remember going there, and I remember as I grew up, they added a bathroom on the house. And I never had to really sleep in a cold house. But I'd go and spend the night sometime with my friends or family or cousins and realize that they didn't enjoy being warm as I did. And I remember when my daddy's oldest brother was able to build a house of his own after he was older. And in the first winter, him saying, I can walk around in my shirt sleeves. I used to think about that.
Yeah.
He was so proud of that. And I have been so blessed. And I don't want to lose that sense of thankfulness.
Amen.
Or that sense of awe that we ought to have because of what God has done.
Sure. God bless you.
And I appreciate this message tonight, Steve. I needed to hear that. And I appreciate it very much. You know, I've always enjoyed working and trying to make some accomplishment in the day. And I thought about scripture that you read in Ecclesiastes about taking pleasure in the work of our hands. I just love to get out and work or plow my garden or hoe it out or whatever the day. But then I like to get out at the end of the day and just admire, just enjoy. And I think that's one of the greatest rewards. And I think that's partly maybe what that scripture was talking about, one of the greatest rewards. You cannot put the price on it.
Amen.
Just as you said, you cannot. Just to look around and to be thankful. That's easy. That's easy to do when life's at its best. That you're, everything's good. And I, for the last few months since I retired, my life's been wonderful. And I'm thankful for that, but I don't want to lose that sense of thankfulness.
Yes.
I don't want something bad to come along to bring me back to realizing how blessed I am. So tonight I just feel like standing and just saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's in me. I want to bless His holy name. And so I appreciate what God is doing. I appreciate this message tonight, Steve. It's to my heart. And I love you for being obedient to the Lord.
Bless your heart, Brother Chris. Amen.
I'm one of those who lived in a log house with no central heat, no running water. The bathroom was out back behind the house. One good thing about that is if the bathroom caught on fire, it didn't burn the house. I really appreciate these conveniences.
Sure.
That we have today. The old log house was in eastern Kentucky, and I lived there until I was 5 years old, so that I have memories of that from when I was very young. When we moved to Birmingham, I was amazed that you could turn a little knob and water would come out of it. Funny story my dad used to tell, and I have personally seen this. In the summertime, people would put a number 3 wash tub out by the well and fill it up with water. And that would let the sun warm it up so they could have a kind of a warm bath.
Yeah.
Later in the day, he said the worst whipping he ever got in his life was when he dumped that water out, filled it up with cold water. His sister went out there and jumped in it. You could hear her scream a mile over. But I'm very thankful for the things that we have that we don't think about.
Sure. They're all gifts and blessings from God.
And most of the world does not have.
That's right.
I am truly thankful to God for what He's given us. I've never had to live in a house where it had an outside bathroom. I think my grandmothers did. And I am truly thankful for all that God has given us. As you come to our house, you probably say, well, this is a little house and it's gone. But God has given me so much. I'm a washer and dryer.
Amen.
Brother John was talking about that well water being drawn into the tub. I've been thinking about my grandparents. They lived out past New Lebanon Church, and their house had no bathroom. And it had a well off the kitchen door, maybe as far as from me to you, from the porch there where you went off. And as a little kid, I remember that my grandfather had made a well house, I guess you could say, or just a cover. And the best I remember, it was made out of cedar posts. There was no solid lumber used in it. And he went up and put a metal roof over it that was equal on all 4 sides. It came to a point right in the middle. I don't know how he did it, but he did it with limbs and tree trunks that fit together. And when around the edge of it, where his tin came down and came down, he did a sawtooth pattern all the way around that thing with metal cutting shears, hand cutters. And I remember as a kid looking at that thing and thinking, wow, that is really something special. And his apparatus to draw the water up was a tube, a well bucket, but it looked more like a tube to me as a kid. And the thing that you wound the rope up on was a log that he had somehow drilled a hole through and had some metal rod through that, bent into a crankshake. And I remember I couldn't go out there without drawing water. You know, it was just fascinating to me to drop that thing in. You had to hold your hand on it so it didn't go too fast and spin your rope off in a wad there somewhere and then crank it back up. Pull it up, hold it over the bucket, pull that lever, and it would just... And down the thought of drinking water out of a bucket is not all that enticing to me. I couldn't stop drinking water out of that bucket when I was out there. And like you said, the bathroom was way out in the backyard, not close to the house, but it was out there. But you know, looking back on it, I feel blessed to be able to have lived in the time that I've lived, because I've seen some of that stuff in person that a lot of people just read about. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time telling them at work that we used to get out of school in October to pick cotton. School shut down. They said, school shut down to pick cotton? I said, oh yeah. They said, why? And I said, because the cotton had to be picked before it started raining and ruined it. Said, why? I said, because if you didn't pick your cotton, you had no money for the next year. You know, that was the way they made their cash crop, so to speak. But I feel so blessed to have lived in that time and to been one of those kids out in the field picking cotton. I didn't enjoy it at the time, but looking back on it, it's a lot more fun looking back. I can still remember what the cotton wagon smelled like. Cotton, picked cotton, has a distinctive smell. And I can remember the old scales hanging off of the board on the back when they would move the wagon, they would rattle. I still hear that sound. And those things are precious to me because it carried me back for a long ways. But the things that, you know, things, like you said, the things we take for granted, man, just turn on. Hey, if you turn your faucet on, the water don't come out. We're in a panic now, aren't we? Call the city, call the water board, call somebody. We don't have any water up here. But the things that we take for granted were not even available 60 years ago to a lot of people. 50 years ago to a lot of people.
But we're
very blessed.
Amen.
Brother Steve, I'm just 60, but the first two houses we lived in, we had an outhouse and a slop jar at night. And, you know, you think that's all gone, but Sister Linda can tell you, there's a lot of kids that still come to school with no electricity,
sure,
no running water. We need to be very thankful.
Amen.
But we also need to be on the lookout for that in this community.
Amen. Yes.
Because it still happens today. And it's not the child's fault, but they're having to live in it.
Yes.
I'm very thankful for what I have. I thank God every day that I have a roof over my head, bed to sleep in, food to eat, because I'm not like your mother said, I don't ever remember going to get hungry, but we didn't have what we do, but we had to eat. And we didn't have running water, the milk. He talked about the wash tub to take a bath in. So I was a senior in high school, that's what we had. And there was four of us kids, and whichever one was the dirtiest got the last bath. But when I went to work for the post office, I saw things here in Bart County I didn't think existed anymore. And like Pam said, there was houses that were put up with slabs covered with plastic that kids lived in. They still do today.
Sure.
And it's just hard to imagine. If we just live in our little area, that's what we see. But when you get out in the country, you see one.
It's, yes, very sad. Still goes on. Anybody else? Appreciate all these testimonies and reminiscing about things and how things used to be and how they are today and the blessings that we have in our generation.